listening
to the Modern Horrors
Podcast Network. Welcome to the 64th episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
So, I fucked up. Twice.
A little bit.
The end of last week's episode, and for several episodes prior to that, I was ramping up for Universal Monsters. Been talking about it. We did a Patreon questionnaire about it. They picked it. We did everything except didn't take into consideration the fact that Shudder might have taken these movies down since the last time we checked.
Oops.
And they totally did.
They did.
And we went to watch them and they weren't gone. No one told us. Usually people are like, you're dumb. They're not there. So it must have just happened.
I was literally like, am I missing something? I don't use Shudder very often. So maybe the search function just like isn't my bag.
Carly sending me screenshots. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? Nope. Fucking like, gone. What? Fucking gone. And not just one of them. All of them. So yeah. Our whole entire remainder of January is fucked. So
it was like Sex Slaves of Frankenstein was like the only thing. I just remember like something really bizarre was up there. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is not what we're watching.
The Sex with Frankenstein movie does not look like it's from 1931, Amy.
Am I going down the wrong path here? Like, what's happening?
So to remedy that, I thought, well, let's just do a watch list grab bag. I'll pick a couple movies that have been on my watch list for a while and we'll do those. So I did. I picked Cheap Thrills, and I picked Witching and Bitching, which
I've never even heard of that before.
Which I've heard of, and I have been on my watch list, and I just never got around to watching them. And I was like, well, let's do those. And then come to find out, time to watch Witching and Bitching, that has also been taken down. So
she texts me. She's like, son of a bitch.
I'm fucking done at that point. And I tell Carly that she's taken over. So she picks Sharks, of course.
Duh.
So really, that's just a long-winded way to say, on today's episode, we'll be discussing Cheap Thrills and 47 Meters Down. For you new Woo-hoo. Listeners, we are a spoiler-heavy podcast, so continue at your own risk. Both of today's films are streaming on Netflix, so feel free to check them out before continuing with the episode if you are a spoiler-sensitive listener. But before we jump into these films, let's get started with a segment that we like to call
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is The Lodgers with a February 23rd release date. It's actually been released already abroad and has had a couple appearances in American film festivals. But the limited release is on February 23rd. It's directed by Brian O'Malley, who we know from Let Us Pray. He directed Let Us Pray. And it's written by David Turpin. The IMDb summary is, in 1920s rural Ireland, Anglo-Irish twins Rachel and Edward share a strange existence in their crumbling family estate. Each night, the property becomes the domain of a sinister presence, the Lodgers, which enforces three rules upon the twins. They must be in bed by midnight. They must not. This is really hard for me to read right now.
It's like the longest thing ever.
They may not permit an outsider past the threshold. If one attempt to escape, the life of the other is placed in jeopardy. When troubled war veteran Sean returns to the nearby village, he is immediately drawn to the mysterious Rachel, who in turn begins to break the rules set out by the Lodgers. The consequences pull Rachel into a deadly confrontation with her brother and with the curse that haunts them. This is a really long summary and
it's
excessive.
Like the longest thing of all time. And what next, IMDb? Please.
We see this a lot with independent films because they try to draw you in with their summary. So they give you a lot of information. It would have been nice if I just got some of that from the trailer.
And then you see, like, I don't know, other movies that are like, teens go to cabin in the woods.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. What movie was that that you were referencing, Carly? That could have been many, many movies.
Exactly. That's it. I'm going to leave it general.
So,
choose your own adventure.
What did you think of this trailer?
I mean, it was very blue.
It was very beautiful.
It was beautiful. There was a crow that looked really soft.
Another crow. Like in Let Us Pray, we had crow imagery.
Yes. It looked grudge-ish.
Sure.
And also the others-ish, but not as orange.
See, I got kind of a Crimson Peak vibe.
I can see that also. I can definitely see that also. It reminded me of a lot of other movies, even though I really did not know what the storyline was here.
Yeah, the trailer is very long and it's almost kind of boring. There's a couple instances that grab your attention and then they kind of go away right immediately afterward. So I really like Brian O'Malley. I really like Let Us Pray. So I have high hopes for it. But in terms of just the trailer, like, I'm not interested.
Same.
It's gorgeous, though. It looks beautiful. The CG, there's definitely some CGI happening here, but it's not over the top. Like, it looks pretty.
Yeah.
It looks pretty. It's not like distracting or anything.
No, it looks really pretty. I don't know.
I just don't really get the story. And maybe you just need to watch it to really get it. Because it seems like I did understand the whole you have to be in bed by midnight thing.
Yeah, because they like set it across the screen.
They set it and they like sang it. And when you sing in a creepy manner, it really affects me and I don't like it.
But like they sing it and then it comes across the screen. But yes. Then the next line that they sing is different from the thing that they put across the screen. Yeah. And I was like, what's happening? And then I was like, I don't understand what's happening.
I mean, maybe just the trailer is a little too much. I still think that this could be good.
I agree.
But the trailer sucks.
They should have gotten the guy whoever did the Key Fingers trailer, because they nailed it. And apparently that movie was not all that.
Oh, my God. We can talk about
to hire those people more.
We can talk about that later. We'll talk about that at the end of the episode. I have thoughts on that.
She got some words.
Fucking movie. Waste of fucking time and money is what it was.
Cheers.
Cheers. A salud.
We're drinking. It's Friday.
Yes, ma'am. It is Friday.
3-day weekend.
We never record on Fridays. This is a brand new thing we are doing.
I know. And so, yeah. Yep. Party time. Excellent. I don't know.
Party time.
Nothing.
Excellent is right. Okay. You're up, girl.
Oh, God. So the first movie that we're going to talk about today. Can you tell I've been drinking and I left my lunch at home today? So I've literally had like half a Pop-Tart and half a glass of wine.
Half a Pop-Tart is not a proper meal, Carly.
It wasn't even a real not that a real Pop-Tart was what I had was better than a real Pop-Tart. Oh, okay. But it was still half of one of those things. As you can tell, I'm doing really well.
You're doing awesome under the circumstances.
Thank you.
Yep.
Alrighty. Our first movie film that we will be discussing today is Cheap Thrills from 2013, directed by E.L. Katz, written by David Churchirillo. Is that right?
It's as good as it's going to get.
That's as good as you are going to get.
Churchirillo, maybe?
Churchirillo.
If it's a Hispanic last name.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like the little white girl. Churchirillo?
Like a chinchilla?
Is that right?
Like a quesadilla?
Jeez Louise.
Sorry.
So I drink my Trader Joe's wine.
I don't know what nationality that is. It could totally be Churchirillo.
Phenomenal.
It could.
Whatever, right. David.
Anyway, he wrote The Bad Match. Yes.
Not The Bad Batch.
No.
Bad Match.
Bad Match with an M.
Confusing to me when I listen to the Modern Horrors podcast situation. Mm. Also confusing to Luke.
Yeah. So who kept saying Bad Batch.
Yeah. And I was like, who are we talking to? Anyway.
He's like interviewing the director and saying Bad Batch every 5 seconds. I was like, who is this guy? What
I was
is
like,
this
wait
movie?
A minute. What did he have to do with? I
thought Anna Lily did Bad Batch.
Right.
Very
That's what
confused.
I was thinking. I was like pausing while I was doing my work. Like, where am I?
We are so distracted. This movie is written by David Churchirillo or David Churchirillo.
Who did The Bad Match. With
yes.
And also Trent Haga, who did 68 Kill.
Yes.
The IMDb summary is, a scheming couple put a struggling family man and his old friend through a series of increasingly twisted dares over the course of an evening at a local bar. False, though, because it's not all at a local bar. They do go to a home.
That's fine.
Need to edit that for IMDb. So
this
it's accurate.
Movie is insane. It's.
I don't know if anybody follows me on Instagram, but I posted a chat that Amy and I were having while I was watching this movie, and it was just like completely ridiculous. And when I read it back to myself, I was like, "This is completely ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous. It's so good.
It's so good.
It's
and
so
we've
good."
Mr. Babe Ethan Embry.
Oh, looking as fine as ever in all his babe glory.
Bursting out of his flannel in the best way that I can explain a gentleman to burst out of a flannel.
Those buttons were holding on for dear life.
They were like, I got you. I'm holding you in.
Oh, he's so handsome.
He's so handsome.
He
even
looks so good.
Without the like long hair situation and the shirtlessness.
No, it's still good.
It was still there. All good.
I appreciated everything that was happening there.
All of the things.
Yeah.
All of the things.
Those poor buttons, though. They
were like,
I can't hold it anymore. I wish I could see Carly's face. That was a really good constipated face, Carly.
Thank you. That was my button impression.
In case you're wondering what Carly's button impression looks like, it looks like a constipated man on a toilet.
I can't do it. It's so
funny. Stop doing it. I can't.
Okay. At the end of the movie, especially, I was just like so distracted by how unable the buttons were to hold on, to hold in the pectorals. And I texted Amy and I was like, God damn, those buttons just want to be free. Bet you didn't think that's where this was going to go.
Can we talk about the movie now, please?
Oh, good grief.
There's so much to talk about for this movie and we keep talking about Ethan Embry's buttons. Okay.
I mean, let's... Why else do you tune in, folks?
let's try and move on from that. It's really good. It took me way too long to watch this movie. It's so much fun.
It's so much fun. I want to watch it again, even though it's like, it's just so ridiculous. And like, it's so outlandish, but like, it makes sense.
We have a lot of really talented actors in this movie. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of... the acting's really good. I really like the acting in this. I thought everyone was really like believable, even in this very over the top movie. They still were pretty. The characters were still pretty human with a lot mm-hmm. of, you know what I mean? Like, it's very over the top, the things happening, but the characters themselves, like, I feel like they're pretty relatable. There's no. Now, granted, there's villains, you know, like technically Violet and Colin. The characters with all the money aren't great people, but at the same time, you don't really hate them. I mean, I didn't hate them. Did you hate them?
I never hated them.
I think they were providing opportunities. They never made anyone do anything. It was more like they were running like a human experiment and like genuinely reacting to the things that happened. Like, they didn't know what was going to happen. They just wanted to see where everything went.
And it's true. They never like pushed anyone or like I never felt that they were villainous. I never felt like they were keeping anybody there against their will, or even when they get held up, quote unquote, because you know, we know how that ends. They're never like aggressive or evil, or I don't know, they're like, it's literally just like a game for them.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a power element there that has affected them in made their brains kind of crazy. But they don't ever seem malicious, even though they're putting malicious thoughts in other people's heads. Like, it's weird. It's not like, grand, they're not perfect and they're certainly doing some fucked up shit. But I definitely still see their humanity and I definitely still find them somewhat relatable. Even though they're a little bit weird. And it kind of changes a little bit because Ethan Embry's character is kind of a jerk,
mm-hmm.
who becomes more and more of a jerk throughout the movie, to the point at the end when you realize he's the one that's more noble. And I don't know, there's just like, there's something in this, the growth of characters in this very short period of time, where this pressure really pushes out the truth in everybody. It's really interesting because Ethan Embry's character is more, you know, he acts like he's a badass and he's a criminal and he doesn't give a shit. And Craig's character is more noble and wants to provide for his family. But you see, as this struggle for more money goes, like, their humanity gets pushed out and Craig becomes more badass and crazy. And right. Ethan, and in the end, ends up being the more noble.
Like, I'm not going that far. Like, I'm not going to do that.
You, the whole time you think he's less noble. It's just, it's very interesting. I love the ending of this. It's really hard to pull off a movie like this.
Broke my heart.
It did. And it's really hard to pull off a movie like this and have a really good ending. Like, how often do we see movies like that are this good and then the ending just fucking ruins it? Like, this really pulls it all together and has a super satisfying ending. I really, really, really like this movie. I was so surprised by how much I liked it. I knew I would be entertained by it, but I really, really, really enjoyed my time with it. It's pretty rare that I'm not looking at my clock to see how much time is left. I wanted more. I didn't want it to end.
Same. I was like so into this, as yeah. you can tell, because I literally was talking to you the entire time I was watching the movie.
Yeah.
But like, it was just, I was interested. It kept me on, not the edge of my seat, but like, I was like, oh man, like, I was super in it. And you don't, it's true. Like, at the end, you're like, oh, poor guy whose name I don't know with the glasses. He's going to die.
Guy whose name I don't know with the glasses. Really doing her research for the show, guys.
Poor that guy.
So basically,
but with Ethan Embry, and I just called everybody, I call him Ethan Embry because that's his name. I call Packer Packer because that's his name in The Office. And then, it's true. Yeah.
So we have, basically we have Craig, who I don't
Craig is glasses name. Guy.
Yeah, so we have his character, Craig, who I said is very noble. He has a new baby at home. He has a wife. He's struggling to make ends meet, and then he loses his job, ends up going to the bar and running into his old friend Ethan Embry, who is doing okay, but he's a criminal. He definitely doesn't love his life, and
he like beats people up for when they owe money.
Yes, and he's struggling a little bit too, and he's
but he's still like a like we can still tell that he's a nice guy, because he offers to, like, when he's like, oh, I need money to, like, pay my rent. He's like, I have a couple $100 that you can have.
Yeah, Ethan Embry is a very nice character at first. He's a little bit bro-ish and, like, you know, he's kind of like, he seems like he never quite grew up. You know, he never quite got the real job and, like, got his shit together.
Yeah.
So you see them like reconnecting and talking about their issues, and then they run into Colin, who is very rich and doing a lot of cocaine and buying really expensive bottles of alcohol, mm-hmm. and his wife Violet, who it's her birthday, so they're celebrating her birthday. So they quickly become friends with them. Colin's buying them drinks and shortly realizes, like, I'm going to offer them money to do different things for our amusement. So, like,
it starts small.
It starts off super small. Go make that chick smack you in the face, you know, and I'll give you $20. That type of thing.
Also, side note, Sarah Paxton from
The Innkeepers.
Shark Knight 3D fame.
Sure. And The Innkeepers.
And The Innkeepers. And she was in The Last House on the Left remake, right?
I don't know. I never saw it. Craig, who's our main character, was also in The Innkeepers. They were both in The mm-hmm. Innkeepers together. So the game starts off slow and really kind of spins out of control towards the middle of the movie, where it starts to get crazy. But there's a lot of drugs yeah. involved, a lot of drinking involved, which helps along the craziness of the night. Craig does not seem like a character who does drugs, but he starts to do them because he gets hurt and he needs to relieve his pain, which
he's like, fuck it, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm in it for the long haul.
Yeah. So, long story short, Colin comes out and says, I'm going to give $250. I have $250 to give away. So,
$1,000.
$250,000. Sorry. Thank you.
You're welcome.
$250. That would be a really boring movie. I have $250.
Who wants it? It's like $1,000,000.
Exactly. So anyway, he has $250,000 that he's willing to give away for different tasks that they would do. You don't have to do any of the tasks. It's just, it is what it is.
You're free to go at any time.
Yes.
He's a black belt in karate.
But Ethan's ready to rob him, so he wants the money no matter what. He's not walking out of there without some money. And Craig needs something like $4,700, $4,500 or something to stay in his apartment because they're about to evict them. Yeah. So there's a desperation there. And he has a baby and he lost his job, you know, so he stays even longer so he can continue to support his family till he finds a new job.
Yeah, he like got the eviction notice and then like literally that day got fired. Like he's having a rough time. Craig, Ophelia.
So each thing is priced out by Colin's own entertainment. And this is really just for Violet. Violet just wants this. This is her birthday present. They have money. They can buy everything. I want my own reality show to watch in live time, basically.
Yeah.
So, you know, it starts out pretty innocent. Punch a bouncer for $500. Shit in my neighbor's living room for $800.
I was like, Amy, they're about to take a poop in the living room.
Yes, exactly.
That's a thing that we're talking about.
But then it gets a little crazy because then it's like, have sex with my wife for $4,500 because I know that's what you need to not be evicted.
While I masturbate while it happens.
No.
Next to Ethan Embry, who gets freaked out.
Which, once that happens, all fucking bets are off for Craig. Like, that was his hardest hurdle to jump. And once he jumped it, it was like, there's no going back. I might as well get everything I need.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I thought that was the hardest scene to watch in terms like of emotions being shown.
Oh, 100%.
Just like you can see the struggle in his eyes. Like it's like, you know, cheat on your wife, basically prostitute yourself or really just prostitute yourself for the money to
keep your wife and baby in a home.
Yes, which is necessary.
Yeah.
Once that happens, it's all fucking downhill. Then they're eating dogs. They're cutting off pinkies. They're eating pinkies.
They're eating pinkies. I was like, oh, God. We're watching, this is the second movie that a finger got eaten.
Yeah. And ultimately, the end, the very last question is, will you kill the other person?
For
$250,000. You know?
And at the beginning of the movie, well, at the beginning of when we meet Packer and Violet, we see them making bets with each other.
Yeah, they've been making bets the whole time.
I bet you that guy's going to check out that bartender's ass. Oh, I won $5.
Right.
And so then we get this final bet, between is my guy going to win? Or is your guy going to win? Who's going to kill who?
You feel the whole movie like Violet has this connection with Craig.
Yeah.
That she really cares about him. She cares about his emotions. She's like helping him when he's bleeding. Mm-hmm. But really, she's coaching him the whole time. And the more I think about it, the more fucked up that is.
Because she's very, like, she does not speak. I don't even really think she has many lines in this movie.
No.
She's very quiet. She's very much the observer. They talk, like, Packer talks about her a lot, but
she does a lot of acting, though. But
yeah,
it's not,
for sure.
But she doesn't have a lot of lines. But her acting is perfect, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. She's coaching him.
She's coaching him. I take it back. They're so fucked up.
Because they're like, you're going to do this.
But I never felt like Colin was coaching Ethan Embry. But I definitely felt like Violet was coaching Craig. And what better way to like push your person to the brink by making them have sex with you and cheat on their wife?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I feel like it was just different because I feel like she was kind of using that connection with what's his name? Craig. But then we have Packer and Ethan Embry, and I feel like that was more like Ethan Embry beats up people for a living. Like, he's used right. to being cutthroat. Like, I feel like, you know, he was just using his, like, hey, like, what are you going to do? You want this money. Right. Like, you basically almost killed, like, are on the verge of killing people for, like, a living. Why not just fucking kill this guy? You got this. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah, he told her, he coaches him a bit towards the end, but I feel like during the majority of the movie, he dislikes him very much. Mm-hmm. And he's rooting for Craig, I felt like Colin was rooting for Craig the majority of the film and not for his horse, which would be Ethan Embry. So who knows? Maybe they
didn't make the bet until
later.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Until Craig came back.
I might prefer to think of it that way.
Actually, no, because now that I'm thinking about it, because Craig leaves and she goes looking for him.
She does.
Violet's like, wait, that's my guy.
Yeah. And she starts playing a very sad song on the piano.
Yeah. So maybe they did. I don't know.
That just added a whole other level to this movie that I didn't think about when I watched it.
I need to rewatch it now.
Fuck. It's so good.
Curious. It's so good.
So there is some animal stuff in here. And as I was watching it, I was about 20 minutes ahead of Carly in this film. So I was like texting her timestamps of when bad things happened to the dog. So she could fast forward. Did that help you at all?
It did, because I was okay. And I was like, all right.
Why
we got the dog?
Why are so many bad things happening to dogs? I'm like, really only one bad thing happens to the dog.
Because, like, Ethan Embry steals the dog, and he's like, I'll fucking kill it. And then Packer's like, God, no. Like, why would you want to kill a dog? What's wrong with you? Jesus. And then
fast
he's like,
forward 30 minutes, and he's trying to get him to kill Craig.
Yeah, exactly, right? But it's true. Like, why would you want to kill a dog? Come on.
Yeah.
Dog chokes on a finger. God. But then, like, I could not watch them eating, even though, like, I knew that what they, I don't know. I don't know what happened in that. Like, they obviously ate the dog, but I did not watch that.
They did, and it was really gross looking.
I had to mute it because the sound was, like, really
gross.
There
was a lot of sound, and the imagery was terrible. I don't recommend it.
So I muted it, and I was like, oh, I'm going to text while this is going on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it was very helpful, and it helped me edit myself.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Edit my watching experience.
I was like, oh no, not more dog stuff. Poor Carly.
It's been a rough week.
All in all, I highly recommend this film. It's really,
so
really enjoyable. It's so much fun.
It's so good.
I want to watch it again. I really, really liked it.
I think I might.
Yeah. Okay. Are we ready to move on?
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about 47 Meters Down from 2017, directed by Johan Roberts, who directed The Strangers Pray at Night, the upcoming film. And he's also directing the upcoming 48 Meters Down, Carly.
Oh, we're going one more meter down.
Because what we need is a sequel to 47 Meters Down, which is a whole additional meter down.
Motherfucker.
This movie is written by Johan Roberts and Ernest Riera.
Yes.
The IMDb summary is, two sisters vacationing in Mexico are trapped in a shark cage at the bottom of the ocean. With less than an hour of oxygen left and great white sharks circling nearby, they must fight to survive. So, this movie is not terrible in that it keeps you interested. It keeps you on the edge of your seat. In that way, it's a very good movie. In basically every other way, I hated it. I can't say I dislike the movie because I was on the edge of my seat and was freaking out a lot of the ending, especially. I was okay. And I'm like doing like the, okay, can you breathe? And I'm like trying to breathe for her. And it's like the worst thing ever. I did get into it. So I can't say I didn't like the movie because I got into it.
Right.
So it was effective.
Right.
But God damn, was the dialogue so fucking terrible.
So terrible. And like reaching in a lot of ways.
It was the most descriptive dialogue of what was happening.
Yeah.
It's almost like the script writer accidentally wrote what was happening as dialogue.
Yeah.
Like, it was an accident. And it was like, you know, she's almost out of air. Instead of noting that she's almost out of air in the scene, she's like, I'm almost out of air. You know,
especially Mandy Moore's character was when they're talking to themselves. It was very obvious.
Yeah, the acting's not necessarily bad, because right. I'm familiar with both of these actresses, obviously Mandy Moore and
Claire Holt.
Yes, and the other girl who plays Kate was in like the originals and Vampire Diaries, which I'm going to admit I watched a little bit of that. but I think that they're both strong actresses. I think the acting's fine, but the dialogue is fucking awful. It's fucking awful. It's really, really, it's really, rough. Really bad. Yeah. And the story, what little story there is so terrible. Stewart, Stewart thing and the bringing back of the Stewart thing constantly and the rubbing her sister's face in the Stewart thing constantly drove me fucking nuts. So basically, Mandy Moore is on this vacation because her boyfriend broke up with her because he said she was boring. She brings her sister with her on this vacation she was supposed to go on with him.
And she's like, oh, Stewart is going to want me back when Stewart realizes how exciting I am.
And then when Mandy Moore tries to back out of doing like the shark cage thing,
she's her like, sister's like, boring people wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think Stewart will think if you do it? And it's like, are you really manipulating your sister like that? That's so fucked up. Like, you're a terrible person.
Yep.
I hated that. I hated that whole thing. And did you know, apparently they filmed a bunch of scenes with Stewart that were cut?
Stewart got cut. He got the scissors.
And do you know who Stewart was?
Who was Stewart?
James Vanderbeek.
Shut your face.
No.
Shut your mouth. Now I want to watch this movie again, knowing that James Vanderbeek is frickin' Stewart. Because can I tell you, my latest, so obviously James Vanderbeek, Dawson from Dawson's Creek, but I watch a ridiculous amount of How I Met Your Mother. Like, I've literally seen the whole series probably like 4 times. And he plays Robin's like old Canadian boyfriend with like a beer belly. And like, he works at the water slide in Canada. Yeah. Like, and it's just so ridiculous and hilarious that like, that's what I'm going to think of when like Mandy Moore's like, Stewart.
Did you ever see Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23?
I did not.
He plays himself in that movie or in that show. Uh-huh. And it's amazing. it was only on for like 2 seasons. It got canceled. But that show is amazing. You have to watch it. If you love James Vanderbeek, you will fucking love that movie. Because he is just such a caricature of himself. Like, he's like so full of himself. And he's friends with these like normal girls. And like, you have to watch it.
So, I was always a Pacey fan, but I appreciate James Vanderbeek just like, you know, going for it.
I was a Pacey fan too, but you have to watch, Carly, you have to watch that show. Please watch Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 20.
Is it on Hulu? Hilarious. I'm adding
I believe it's on Hulu. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. It's on Hulu.
I'm in.
Although don't trust me because I keep saying things are on things and then they're not there anymore.
That's true. I'll keep like, you posted. Like
this episode almost was twice different movies. So I found how are you going to name a character that people are freaking out and like really sad about? How can you name that character Stewart? Stewart is such a shitbag name. Like Nobody mourns a relationship with Stewart. Stewart fucking sucks.
Sorry if anybody listens to our podcast and their name's Stewart. Have we mentioned we've been drinking? I knew a fantastic Stewart in high school.
Okay.
I think we're still friends on Facebook.
I don't know anyone named Stewart, but it just seems like such a freaking shitty Poindexter name. Like, you're an asshole if your name's Stewart.
And again, I like Dexter as a name.
I said Poindexter.
Oh, Poindexter. Cheers.
I take it back. Stewart might be a really nice guy. I'm just saying, in terms of naming characters, like, why would you name it Stewart?
I get it.
It's a weird choice, is all I'm saying.
And like,
especially
again,
if you're going to make it James Vanderbeek. Does James Vanderbeek look anything like a Stewart to you?
No.
No. He's not a Stewart.
They should have just kept his name James.
That would have been fine.
That would have been fine and also, like, plus one. That would have been, like, amazing. It would have been
hilarious if they named him Dawson.
Oh, my God.
If she's like, oh, Dawson, and then looks at a picture of him.
And it's like him.
And it's James Vanderbeek from when he was on Dawson's Creek.
Exactly. It's got to be an old pick. Oh, man. We just made this movie 18,000 times more appealing.
So the dialogue here, let me describe what the dialogue reminds me of, because it's very specific, because a lot of times you can't see their mouths moving because they're underwater and they have all these like things on their faces. You know, they have the mask and then the thing in their mouth and the whole thing. You know how when you're in Disneyland or Disney World and you're on the like ride, like you're on Pirates of the Caribbean or something, and like you hear the character dialogue and it's really stupid, and then like you don't see anyone's mouth moving? Like, it felt like Disneyland to me. Like, I felt like I was in the middle of a Disneyland ride.
Okay, okay.
She goes, oh, the shark almost got me.
Yes, that is, I think, a line, actually.
That's an actual line in the movie when the shark almost gets her. Oh, the shark almost got me.
I'm pretty sure I was, like, watching this movie, and I was like, wait, is that a thing that just happened? Like, what?
It can't be real. I wrote down so many lines because I was just like, how is that a fucking line?
It was, though.
I was so lost. I thought I would never see you again. Is this a Disney movie? No one talks like that.
Yeah.
It's working. Look, it's getting higher, they say as the cage moves higher.
It's like, you're right. It's exactly, oh, did you write these down? Are these like legit like lines from the movie?
I wrote these down. These are legit lines from the movie.
No, it's true though. It's literally the most, what is that in terms of like, I want to say overacting, but it's like over dialoguing.
It's just bad dialogue. It's just an unnatural bad dialogue. It's really great for cartoons for children, not so great for a movie for adults.
It's supposed to be like scary and...
Yeah. I'm almost out of air. As we look at your fucking thing and can tell you're almost out of air, you don't have
to say
it.
As we're looking at your meter.
And the way they say it is not, even if someone were to say that, like if I was freaking out and I look at my, whatever, my gauge for my air, and I see that I'm almost out of air, I wouldn't go, I'm almost out of air. I would say, fuck, I'm almost out of air. What the fuck? Okay, you want to keep it PG-13, keep out the fucks, but like the general like emotion coming
that's
from
what I'm
that
saying. Like,
it's just very,
they would have been dropping a lot more F-bombs.
They would have been dropping a lot of fucking F-bombs. More F-bombs. I'm almost out of, it's very Disney princess. Yeah. Like, they both sound like Disney
princesses.
Well,
Mandy Moore is a Disney princess. Let's not forget about Tangled.
All right.
Basically.
And then there's multiple times when, like, they're looking at their gauge. It's at 2, and they're doing something, and they stop again. You have a 2 bar on your thing. Why are you stopping to look at it again? Continue doing what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Just complete the mission.
She's trying to change air tanks. She stops changing it, like, looks at her thing and sees that it's lower and keeps going. It's like, what
it's
are
like,
you
girl,
doing?
It's not going to get any higher, so why don't we just like, keep this moving?
Nobody would do that. No one's doing that.
Someone's like, I'm getting this fucking thing because I'm going to die if I run out of air.
I mean, somehow it's still... It still makes you like freak out.
I was like, bitch, fix your air.
I was definitely more afraid of them running out of air or like getting the bends than I was of them getting attacked by sharks. And I definitely felt like this was going to be a shark movie, and sharks are not they're definitely a part of it, but there's not a lot of sharks
there
in this
aren't
movie.
And that was fine for me because even when sharks are used, they're used in a fictitious weird manner that bothers me, but that's besides the point. I almost wish this was more like a movie about, like, obviously she goes crazy in the end, she gets like sick. But like that's exactly one of the like most terrifying things about diving is like the thought of getting the bends. The thought of like your lungs bursting like a balloon is like the scariest thing in the world. I think it's scarier than sharks.
Nitrogen bubbles in your brain. I thought that was the scariest part of the I could give a shit about the sharks. None of that was scary to me. But the running out of air and the getting the bends and like the sharks were helpful because it kept them in one space. But I liked when they wandered because it was like so easy for them to get lost. It was just I loved that part of it. I've never seen a movie that explored that part. It was like being
It's true.
It's like being
like because that is the when you're like diving and you're in water like that, like unless you have a focal point where like you get vertigo really bad. Like when she's like out in the middle of the sea and it just like looks the same everywhere, like that is like the scary, like fuck the like anything
that's
else.
Terrifying.
Like it's just like being out there and having no idea what way is up, what way is down, what way you came from. Like, and she's obviously an inexperienced diver, so she has no idea what's going on. She doesn't know how to use all of her gauges and stuff like that. Like, that's terrifying. I really enjoyed that part of the movie. Yeah, but then when you have, like, great whites hunting, like, that close to, like, the seafloor, I was just kind of like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was kind of necessary for the story because there had to be something to...
They had to be scared of something, but I would have appreciated it if, like, that wasn't a real thing. You know what I mean? Like, that guy comes and, like, to give them the winch and gets, like, attacked and eaten. And same thing with the sister.
Sure. Yeah.
I wish they would have just, like, died and, like, I wish their lungs would have exploded.
I thought that the ending pissed me off a little bit. Now, I like it in retrospect, but at the time I didn't really care for it. I think it just was a little too much, like...
Melodrama?
No, it was, like, a cop-out, kind of. But I did, overall, I like it that she was hallucinating, and it does make sense that the sister would be just dead. But I got really attached to that story. So when it was over, like it lasted longer than a hallucination usually lasts in a movie. I guess that's really what I'm trying to say. A good example being, The Descent. You know, at the end, there is a hallucination, but it's a spoiler alert, but it's short and it doesn't really, I don't know. For some reason, this one hit me negatively.
Because this one was so long.
It was a very long ending and I got attached to that ending and then it wasn't that ending, but I do like the ending. I just think if the fake ending was a little shorter, I would have liked it more. I think because it was so long, it was
I thought it was really bizarre, and I guess like it makes sense because it's like a hallucination and it's not real, but like when they were like floating up and like the sharks were like coming at them with the flares, and just because they had a flare, the shark wasn't going to eat them or something. Yeah. I don't know. There was just a lot of really weird moments.
There was a couple things like in that sequence that didn't make sense. But then when you find out it's hallucination, you're like, oh, okay, well, it doesn't really matter. Like what that dude that was pulling them up with the rope was the only one pulling them up by the rope. And there's two other guys on board not doing anything.
They're like,
just,
you're
like,
so
yelling.
Strong.
Like, why wouldn't the other guys be helping you pull up the girls? Like, this doesn't make sense. Anyway, it was a... It's not a bad movie.
It's not a bad movie. And it does... I mean, it does its job in, like, making you feel a little anxious and a little uncomfortable maybe sometimes. But it also is like, oh, fuck off. Like, it also, like, makes you be like, come on, that's, like, whatever. That's annoying.
The story's really good. The writing is kind of not great.
100%.
The way it's shot is pretty nice. I like the way it looks. I don't know. It's
exactly.
Fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. I could take it or leave
totally.
It. I think it's worth watching once. I'm glad I didn't see it in theaters.
As long as you don't take it too seriously, and I feel like because I saw this movie in theaters when it came out, and I was like automatically like Miss Judgy Pants because I'm like, I love shark movies, but I also like.
Can I start calling you Miss Judgy Pants,
absolutely.
Please?
Absolutely. I've got Thank judgy you. Eyes down to a science. Like, ask my friend Shannon. Like, if you know me, like, judgy eyes. Like, I won't verbalize it, but I've got it. It's a thing. I'm working on it, but I got them. Anyway, I'm super judgy in my brain. Surprise. But yeah, so like I went into this like movie and I was like just automatically just judging it. And I love shark movies because I like just seeing what people do with sharks. Sure. And anything that kind of brings attention to sharks is good because then I can talk about it. But yeah, I definitely liked this movie better the second time because I feel like I was less judgy.
Yeah, I liked it. I had very low expectations. I think if you go in it with low expectations.
And I think that's why is because like I was like super judgy when I first saw it. And so now I was like less judgy because of how harshly I judged it the first time.
I mean, it has a lot of really big successes as along with a lot of really big failures. So it evens itself out, but it is new. It is a different type of movie. I've never seen anything like this before.
I just think it's 48 meters down. Jesus. Fuck. That's so funny.
Why? I'm so mad that they're doing 48 meters down.
Oh, goodness.
I saw that and I was like, why?
I feel like they could have gone a different route with that.
Yeah.
Or just one more meter.
47 and a quarter meters. Yeah. All right. Oh. Let's move on then.
Okay.
Let's talk about our newest segment, which we like to call
Social Media Question of the Week, which we forgot to do last week.
Yeah.
And we almost forgot to do this week.
But we remembered, Carly.
We did.
Remembered in the end.
And we got a good amount of responses for this question.
We did, and very quickly, which I appreciate.
Me too.
So this week's question was, would you rather cut off your pinky or swim with a large amount of sharks?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go through these. First off, we have at Horror Writers on Twitter that says, I'll take the sharks.
High five. Elizabeth says, sharks. They would probably leave me alone if they weren't hungry, and it would be awesome. Yes, it would.
At Last Cthulhu says, wouldn't it be smarter to cut the pinky of the person next to me, throw them to the sharks, and swim the other way? Sharks might even be grateful and allow me to ride them safe to safety.
I like your plan. I like your plan. At The Giant Be With You says, pinky. I got 9 other fingers.
At MJ Hogan's 29 says, pinky. I'd miss the pinky, but who knows what the limb would be missing? What limb I would be missing after that swim. Now, if it was a thumb, that would be a different story.
Ah. At Moxie McMurder says, no contest. Pinky. I like that name. Me too.
At Lovecraft Tape says, pinky. Sharks are bound to take more pinky parts than I'd like. Or more pink parts than I'd like. Yeah.
At Super Specs says, shark-interested waters. Maybe shark-infested waters?
I think it's supposed to say shark-infested waters.
Shark-infested waters.
Yeah. At Mark Z says, bye-bye, pinky.
At V and a bunch of threes says, cut my own pinky.
On Instagram, we have Black Horror Cat Memes who says, cut off my pinky while swimming around in shark-infested waters. Hardcore.
River Runs North says, the pinky on my left hand can go. I'll donate it to science. Fuck being eaten by sharks and becoming fish feces.
Does science have a high demand for left-hand pinkies?
I guess.
Okay.
It's an important
Exploding
thing.
Heads Horror Podcast says, bye-bye, little guy.
Facebook, we have Justin from the Horror Business saying, I'd cut my arm off.
That was not an option, Justin.
Clearly, he'd go the pinky route.
Not an option. Stacey V says, pinky, clearly.
Fred B says, I'd cut off my pinky and then go swimming with the sharks. If I'm going to die from doing something stupid anyway, I might as well make it look awesome.
Now, I'm pretty sure that you're just going to say you'd rather swim with sharks,
Carly. You know I'd rather swim with sharks.
I had a hard time with this question. I started by asking Tony, my husband, I asked him this question. He goes, that's a stupid question. And I said, well, what's your answer then? And he like took a really long time to answer. And he's like, pinky.
I would not. I can't handle it. I would much rather die from like bleeding out from a shark bite than like have to deal with cutting my own pinky off.
I think the act of cutting your own pinky off is difficult, but I know that if I was swimming with sharks, I would totally freak out. Like I would probably drown and then get eaten. Like just from being an asshole because I didn't know what to do.
I'd be like, "We good. I love you."
Yeah, I think I would get eaten somehow. Like, even if it was just accidental.
But, like, that's such a cool story. That's why, cheers.
It wouldn't be a cool story if I was dead.
Well, no, but, I mean, it, like, I'm just saying, if I'm going to go, if they're like, God, man, Carly, she died. Like, she got eaten by sharks, man. Like,
but here's the thing. You don't have to die. You could just miss your pinky.
But I don't have to die getting swimming with sharks either.
And I know, but your chances of survival are much better by cutting off your pinky.
That's why I was saying that we had more Instagram, because my friend Herb put it phenomenally. So I'm going to read his.
Okay.
He said, people swim with sharks all the time, and only rarely do they get bit. Plus, I would have an incredible, unforgettable experience swimming with sharks. I'm keeping my pinky and making beautiful shark memories. Worst case scenario, I'll have the coolest tombstone with a shark bite on the corner.
No, I don't agree.
I don't wholeheartedly agree.
I don't like the ocean. Like, I don't want to be in the ocean hardly ever.
Well, then it makes sense that you would cut off your pinky.
And I really don't want to be around sea life in the ocean is the scariest thing on the planet. I don't care who you are.
Oh, 100%. I think that's why I like it so much. It's like that adrenaline rush.
No, I can't deal. I feel so powerless and I just can't. Like, at least if I cut off my pinky, I'm in control of the situation. I could easily, like, protect myself from dying and, like, even take my pinky and maybe even get it reattached.
Have you ever, like, scuba dived or even, like, snorkeled?
No, fuck no.
It's, like, seriously the most surreally, like, calming.
There's no way that's calming to me. I have so much anxiety about seeing other animals in the ocean.
But just, like, being near the ocean. I don't know. It's just, like, that's just, like, our two different personalities. I feel like... so much at home in the sea, in the water in general.
When I go to Hawaii, my husband's from Hawaii, and when I go to Hawaii with him, I spend more time in the ocean than I do any other place, and I think the ocean in Hawaii is an amazing experience, and I could just lay in the ocean all day. But there are very specific spots I stay, and I don't go out too far, and I don't wander.
I was going to say, joke's on your husband, because he's probably been, like, swimming with sharks multiple times, because he likes to surf.
He definitely has, but he has a very healthy fear of sharks, because he knows people who have been bitten. So.
Fuck yeah. That's I'm sorry.
A thing. That's a thing. When you surf a lot, like, you know people who have been bit by sharks.
God,
so.
Someday.
I think that, yes, he likes to surf and spend a lot of time in the ocean, but I don't think he's going to willingly swim with a bunch of sharks. And I think
that's like why I got scuba certified, is so I could go swim with sharks.
I know, but there
clearly
are,
I'm insane.
If you're doing it on purpose with people who know what they're doing, you're fine. But just like swimming in the ocean and being surrounded by a bunch of sharks, hell no, fuck that. I'm just saying, like, I this whole cage thing, cool. Like, I might even do that.
Yeah.
Because I feel protected.
Sure.
But, like, just being surrounded by a bunch of sharks, no, 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 no.
And again, and again, this movie, so far-fetched, because they can't afford to fucking keep their cage intact, but they can afford all this crazy digital scuba gear. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit artist.
Okay, let's move on and talk about what's going on with us a little bit before closing out. Now, you have something to talk about?
I do.
Okay.
What do I have to talk about?
I don't know. I was just asking. I just said it in a weird way.
I was like, I feel like she knows something that I don't know. I've been watching Black Mirror a little bit.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh my God, episode 4 was the last one that I watched. I bawled my fucking eyes out.
It's fucking good. It's so fucking good.
I can't handle it. I want to watch it again, though, because it was so delightful.
It was very delightful.
Episode 2 made me feel real uncomfortable.
Which one is that?
The one with the mom and the daughter.
Yeah.
It made me feel real uncomfortable. I don't know why. Yeah. And, oh my God, I was so excited that, again, How I Met Your Mother reference, because I watch a ridiculous amount of that. Ted's wife was in that first episode, yes. And I was super stoked about it.
Yeah.
I loved that episode, by the way. It's a strong, strong opener.
Yeah. Good one. I have been watching a lot of Black Mirror. I went and saw Key Fingers, the new Insidious movie. It's not called Key Fingers, but that's what we call it here at Final Girls Horrorcast.
Yep.
I hated it. I was really excited about it. It was awful. And the trailer looks amazing, and the movie's terrible.
I'm so bummed.
It didn't hold up. It didn't feel like an Insidious movie to me. It didn't have my favorite title card of all time. I love, like, the Insidious title card with the music. It makes me jump. I get really excited for it. It didn't happen. It was, like, all CGI and not what I wanted it to be. I don't recommend it. I didn't care for it. Not a fan.
Wah, wah. So just watch the trailer, because the trailer is amazing, and whoever did the trailer was so good.
Yeah, the trailer's really good. Yeah, it made 3 look amazing. Like, that's how bad it was.
Yikes.
I just apologize for all of my, like, spaciness lately and, like, messing up all the time and not, like, sending people stickers right away, and I haven't ordered Elizabeth's hoodie. My life is totally fucking nuts, and the fact that I'm still recording a podcast at all is kind of amazing. Our house is in shambles. We are just, like, doing so much construction, and I'm still working full time, and my life is in
a closet half the time.
Yeah, my life's kind of nuts right now. It'll hopefully get better soon. We're getting towards the end of what we're working on, but it's been a time. So I apologize for, like, all the things that are happening right now that seem super unprofessional.
Hey, at least we've been uploading.
Honestly, yeah, the fact that we're uploading is what's awesome about all of it.
So we make time to just chill and drink and talk to each other about movies.
For example, like, 5 minutes ago, I was mid-sentence and my computer just decided to completely shut down for no reason. Luckily, my recording is still there, but it's just, like, it's just shit after shit after shit lately.
I felt like Ian Malcolm in Jurassic Park, where he's like, and now I'm sitting by myself talking to myself. That's great. Chaos theory.
Sorry, Carly. I didn't do it on purpose. I preferred not
to. Now I just want
to
watch Jurassic Park.
You always just want to watch Jurassic Park, though.
Accurate.
Yeah. Okay, so thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone, and Jason Link for our amazing logo. Visit FinalGirlsHorrorCast.com for more information on them, to listen to any and all of our episodes, to find our Patreon shop link, our Patreon link, and our shop link. We also have stickers to give away if you're interested in getting some stickers. All you have to do is share our podcast or rate and review us on iTunes and send us an email, FinalGirlsHorrorCast@gmail.com, with your mailing address, and I'll send some to you. I am a little delayed on doing that, but I will send them to you eventually.
Yes, we will. Final Girls Horrorcast is sponsored by Elizabeth, Mikey H, Nick B, Jonathan W, Black Cat, Miss Tab, and the OT Gourmet Geek.
Are you rapping right now?
I am.
Okay.
Yep.
Sorry.
We are available to stream on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else that you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at FinalGirlsHC, and Instagram and Facebook, just search for Final Girls Horrorcast. We also invite you to join our Final Girls discussion group on Facebook. You can find the link on our Facebook homepage.
Okay, and for next week, what are we watching, Carly?
We are going to watch The Bad Batch with a B, which is streaming on Netflix. And we are going to watch the unrated director's cut of Wish Upon, which is currently streaming on Amazon Prime.
Wow. I know. More 2017 releases. We're just playing catch up, I guess.
Exactly.
I'm stoked for that.
Me too, actually. I haven't. Yeah. I saw the regular one, the regular Wish Upon, but I'm stoked to see the unrated version.
Ooh, the unrated director's cut. There's going to be penises everywhere.
God only knows.
What's in that Wish Upon box? It might be a peen.
The peen cast can only hope, I guess.
Everyone wishes for a peen in the Wish Upon box.
In the Wish Upon box.
In the unrated director's cut.
All right. The final girls wish that,
well,
apparently.
That's it for this week, my lovelies. Until next week, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye!